I don't want us to look at the sermon today, or I do want us to look at the sermon today in a positive light. I want us to look at it in a positive light. And I say that because the title of the message is Trials and Suffering. Trials and Suffering. Let's begin today by considering rather a couple of what I would call maybe marquee scriptures on the subject. Neither of these scriptures, are scriptures that we haven't read or heard before. They're certainly not new to us. But it's a subject that all of us are subject to, and once in a while we prepare messages on the subject, but it's not necessarily always a negative thing. Sometimes we look at trials and suffering and we can look at them in a very negative way, or in a way that is hurtful to us. But the Bible has a lot to say about the subject, and it puts a little bit more of a positive light on it. Let's first of all, a couple of these marquee scriptures, as I noted them, marquee, I don't even know how to spell it. I know it has a Q-U in it, I think, but I spelled it phonetically in my notes here. But we'll turn to James chapter 1 first of all. James chapter 1, one of the scriptures that we'll begin to look at. James chapter 1 and verse 2. Which simply says in the New King James Version of the Bible, it says, My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, do any of us want a trial? Can raise your hand, and nobody does, because the obvious answer is no. We don't want trials, do we? We don't want trials. And yet James here said, count it all joy. Count it all joy. Now, verse 3 says that trials are productive. They're productive. Verse 3 says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces. So sometimes we can look at it and think, and that's why I say we need to look at it in a positive light. We can look at it and think that trials are productive, aren't they? That's what James said here in chapter 1. He said, it's interesting, the book of James starts out going right into trials. That's where James started out going into, right into trials. Verse 3 says, knowing that the testing of your faith, so there's a testing of our faith, is productive. It produces, specifically here mentioned, patience. So it produces patience. Verse 4 says, but then let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So patience produces or trials produce patience. Verse 5 says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, it will be given to him. So ultimately, as we read, we're perfected by trials. That's a very positive thing that can come from trials. Let's break down here verse 2 a little bit. Let's go back to verse 2 and break it down a little bit. We've seen that it says there that my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. The New Revised Standard Version has an interesting way of putting that. It says, "My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy." Now that's a challenging scripture. You know, we talk about that, and I've mentioned before that sometimes we come across scriptures that can be challenging. It can be challenging sometimes to consider it nothing but joy when we have a trial, when we face a trial of any kind, it says. The New American Standard Bible says, consider as it does in the New Revised Standard Version. Consider this word that the New King James uses as count. That's interesting. If we do a little bit of a word study there and look at the word count in the original Greek, it means to lead or to have the rule over. Interesting, to have to lead or to have the rule over. If we go back a chapter to Hebrews chapter 13 in verse 7, Hebrews chapter 13 in verse 7 says, "Remember those," again, you're just going back in my Bible, look at one page, some of it is just across the page, "remember those who have the rule over you." Have the rule over you. The margin there says lead. It's interesting that that's the same, the rule over is the same Greek word that's used in James chapter 1. We'll go back to James chapter 1 and verse 2. It's the same Greek word that is used there that says count. Count. So we're to count or to lead or to have the rule over, as we read there, and as we read there, the count, the rule over, it says, trials, the rule over those trials with joy. We can rule over those trials with joy, recognizing, as we'll go through and read various scriptures today, that they have their purpose. They have their purpose. We can drop down to verse 6. We read through verse 5 there. Verse 6 of James chapter 1 says, "But let him ask in faith." So in verse 5 we said, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally, without reproach, and it will be given to him." Verse 6 then, James went on to say, "But let him ask in faith, with no doubting." With no doubting. "For he who doubts is like a wave driven, tossed to and fro by the wind." So we're to ask in faith. You know, we can ask God in faith to help us to learn what he intends as he is perfecting us. Let me repeat that. We can ask God in faith with no doubting, James said. Ask God in faith to help us to learn what he intends as he is perfecting us, as we read in verse 4. So that's one scripture that we've read and we'll read. One of the kind of marquee scriptures when we talk about trials and suffering, that we're to rule over it with joy, to rule over our trials with joy. The other one is an encouraging scripture, really. It's found in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. James addressed the issue of trials. Romans here, Paul addresses the issue of suffering. Romans chapter 8 And verse 18, again, a familiar scripture to many of us. We read this and have read this scripture many times. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, "For I consider that the suffering of this present time," and there are times when we suffer, "the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." So I'll ask the same question that I asked about trials. Do any of us want to suffer? Do any of us want to suffer? And the answer is the same, isn't it? Obviously, if I ask for a show of hands, none of us would raise our hands. I certainly wouldn't. None of us would. We don't like to suffer. The answer is obviously no. But yet we do. We do suffer, don't we, at times, at different times in our lives. We suffer. We have little things we make light of, don't we, when we in our suffering. Sometimes we joke about it a little bit. We say things like, "There are two sure things in life," right? You know the answer: taxes and death. We make light of that. We kind of say that as a joke. I know one, I don't remember who it was, who always said, "I'm not afraid of dying, I just don't want to be there when it happens." Now, that may be a tough one. I know Mr. Johnson, Dave Johnson, one time in one, I may have mentioned this in a message before, in one of his pistols classes, was talking about a little bit about dying, and he said he's not afraid of it, but the process of it makes him a little bit concerned. And I think that sometimes is the case, because oftentimes we suffer. People suffer going through, not always, but oftentimes we do. There's suffering involved in that process. In our lives, we suffer. We suffer greatly at times. You know, the people in the Bahamas are suffering, aren't they? Our brethren are suffering. Some of them are having a very difficult time of it. I really appreciated Mr. Hampton's update on what's going on there. It's very helpful and somewhat encouraging to realize. It sounds like God certainly watched over the brethren and protected. But we don't know, I think, in every circumstance yet. He mentioned on the one island, and I didn't commit to memory the name of that island, starts with an A. What did he say? Six or seven have died on another island. One had died. The latest that I heard was that 43 have died, have been confirmed dead. But there are 6,000, latest statistic I heard, 6,000 people missing. 6,000 people. And the expectation that I heard is the death toll will be in the thousands. Death toll will be in the thousands. So we pray for them, don't we? We pray for them. We ask God to watch over and protect them. Mr. Hampton had sent out a note earlier in the week and asked us to pray, not just for the brethren there. Of course, we know Galatians 6:10 says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all." And then Paul distinguished there, especially those who are of the household of faith. And the prime minister there in the Bahamas pleaded for prayers this week, as that 185 mile an hour wind with over 200 mile an hour gusts, can you imagine? Sat there, moved about 8 miles an hour at one time. One time it moved about a mile an hour. Just sat there, hovering over those islands in the Bahamas. So the people in the Bahamas are suffering. Here in verse 18, again, we consider we see the word rather, consider. Consider. We saw that in James chapter 1 and verse 2, to count, or as some versions said, consider. It's not the same Greek word here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. But again, we see the word consider. Consider. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy. Now, consider means to take an inventory of. King James says, reckon. They're not worthy. It says, I consider the sufferings of this present time. Sufferings in the Greek means just that. It means afflictions or hardship or pain. We all have pain, don't we? Even sometimes when we're young, you know, we have pain. We fall down, we scratch ourselves, we have to, you know, mommy put a band-aid on it. It doesn't get any better when we get a little older. We have pain. You know, it seems like I have to get up and stretch my back in the morning and walk off the pain. And we could all tell this story, couldn't we? We all have pains that we suffer. We have a whole industry, a whole pharmaceutical industry designed to help us with our suffering and our pain. So we have aspirin, Tylenol, we have these on our shelves, most of us do. Tylenol, Aleve, Excedrin, Mucinex, all of these things designed to help us. I'm not sure why we're laughing about Mucinex, but there's probably a story there. I could tell one, but I won't. But all designed to help us with our suffering. To help us with our suffering. We have a variety of other, you know, over-the-counter drugs on our drugstore shelves. They're full of things to help us with our pain and our suffering. And that's not to mention prescription drugs. Again, all designed to help us with our pain and our suffering. So we suffer and we struggle and we have trials and we have suffering. So James tells us to count it all joy. And Paul instructs us to consider, think about, look beyond. Look beyond. Let's drop down to verse 23. To look beyond, as we read there in James chapter 1 as well, that we're to rule over the joy. Verse 23 of chapter 8 here says, not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. We do sometimes, don't we? Groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption and the redemption of our body. We're looking forward and so much more. As we get a little older, so much more we look forward to that spiritual body that won't suffer, won't, you know, be in pain, won't be in affliction. But in the meantime, there are going to be trials and there's going to be suffering. Until we get to that point. So we don't have to be discouraged by that. We can recognize that God has a plan. And that it's all good. It's all good. Psalm chapter 34. We'll spend a little bit of time a little bit later in the book of Psalms talking about some of these sufferings that we go through. Psalm chapter 34. verse 19, Psalm 34 and verse 19, said the psalmist here was David. This, my Bible is headed a Psalm of David, when he pretended madness before Abimelech, who drove him away and departed. And he departed. Verse 19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Many. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Why is that? Why are the afflictions of the righteous many? We have our afflictions, we have our pains, don't we? Why is that? 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. We have trials and we suffer. We suffer pain. Some more so than others. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. I'm going to read this from today's English version. It says, they are for you. They are for you who through faith are kept safe by God's power. So we have to have, they are for us. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. They are for us. We'll read a little bit leading up to that in a minute. But who through faith are kept safe by God's power for the salvation which is ready to be revealed at the end of time. God has a purpose in everything that he does. And trials and suffering is, as we read in, to be counted all joy, and as we read there in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18, that the suffering is not to be compared to what will be revealed in us. Let's go back to verse 3. We'll begin reading. We'll read this from the New King James Version. It said, blessed be God the Father, verse 3 of 1 Peter chapter 1. Blessed be God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. God is, I want to draw a little bit of attention to that word mercy there. God is a merciful God. He has great mercy on us. And sometime in your studies and in your reads, read through and see how many times there's a reference in your Bible, in our Bible, to the context of mercy and of God's mercy. And it's all throughout the Bible. So according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible. God is merciful, and it is through trial and suffering that we're perfected. God is merciful. Verse 4 says, to an inheritance incorruptible. There will come a time when that suffering won't be there, and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while. So we greatly rejoice in the understanding that we have, that there's an incorruptible time coming for us, that there is eternal life coming for us, but now, for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved, or as the margin there says, distressed by various trials. Various trials. Not necessarily just a trial, although when we're in these trials, when we're in this period of suffering or trial, there's not a whole lot else sometimes that we can think about. You know, my dad used to say that when I came to him with something that hurt, he would say, well, I'll kick you over here so you won't think about this. You'll think about this. You know, when we're in pain, that's not exactly what he said, but I can't really repeat that. But when we're in pain, when we're in suffering, when we're in trial, oftentimes that becomes and overwhelms us and becomes the focus, isn't it? Becomes the focus. But Peter here said, various trials. We have various trials. God tries us in different ways and in different areas of our lives and tests us to perfect us, as we read in James chapter 1 and verse 3, to perfect us. So trials are positive and good. Even though we don't like them, we don't ask for them, we don't want them. But we have various trials. What kind of trials do we have? What kind of trials do you have? Probably one of the ones that's most outstanding or most difficult are health trials. Health trials. Some of us have health trials. I've had health trials. You know, a couple of years ago, went through a heart bout, as I'm sure all of you remember, where, you know, I couldn't breathe. I could breathe, but I was struggling to breathe. And that's what identified the problem. And I had what's called a low ejection fraction, which my heart was only at about 20%. Now, my heart wasn't at 20%, but that part of the heart that pumps blood through the body was only at about 20% when it needs to be, or it should be. That the optimum is about 65. And right now I'm about between 45 and 50, and which is fine for someone my age. But if you're sitting, and I was on a trip when I started really struggling with this, and it really manifested itself when I did a lot of walking. And I was at a trade show, and I walked a trade show, and it was a big one, and I walked probably 4 or 5 miles that day, and then it manifested itself, and I couldn't breathe, and I was struggling to breathe. I was short of breath and couldn't get a full breath, and I suffered. And of course, you know, we go to the doctor and we get that looked at and checked out, and they scare you half to death, you know, and tell you that, you know, you have to do this right now, or, you know, and literally told me that my heart could stop at any moment. And you may recall I had this little thing on me to shock me back in the event that that happened. But, you know, that was a health trial for me. And it hasn't gone away necessarily. You know, they're medically helping me, and it's again one of those things we talked about earlier that happens. Many of us, you know, that's just an example for me. Many of us have health trials, and they're very difficult, and we focus on them and we think about them, and they're very difficult. We pray for one another. We are praying for one another regularly, aren't we, in our health trials? We know who our brethren are, our brothers and sisters, our household is. Working on a message on the subject of the household of God, and I've been working on it for a while. I probably told you that before, and it just never comes to, I was going to give it today, but it just never comes, has not come together for me, so I'm figuring that when God wants me to give it, he'll bring it together for me, and until then, I'll just talk about it a little bit here and there. But we're a household. We know each other, don't we? We know what each other's needs are. We pray for one another. We regularly get updates on the internet. Probably got 3 or 4 in the last week where we're asked to pray for our brothers and our sisters, our household, our family. We pray for one another, don't we? We pray for each other. Because, you know why? Because we know. You know, we know who in the room here needs our prayers. And so we pray. You know, we pray, as we read earlier, about Mrs. Harper and her death, and we pray for the family, don't we? And Mr. Pennelly, and I could go down a list. I didn't write them down, but I could go down a list of people that are on our lists of people that we pray for on a regular basis because we have health trials, financial trials. You know, Peter said various trials. Sometimes financial trials. I wonder sometimes, Mr. Meeker was going over, you know, the people in Rwanda. I was thinking, you know, they probably needed another dentist there. We should probably do a fundraiser for our dentist to go to Rwanda next summer. I'm sure that would make her mom just delighted. But, you know, I often wonder whether people in those countries have financial trials. You know, we have financial trials because we have all these things we have to have and keep up with. God has blessed us with. You know, we're a very blessed nation, and God has blessed us with these things, but sometimes, you know, it's created maybe a little bit of a false financial trial that is not really and truly a trial, because none of us, I don't think, this morning got up and wondered, you know, where our breakfast was going to come from. There are people all over the world, you know, we may have some financial difficulties, or there may be too much month left at the end of the money at times, but we don't have to wonder where dinner is going to come from. There are many people in the world who get up in the morning and their concern is, how am I going to get something to eat for breakfast? And then after breakfast, their concern is, how am I going to get something else to eat today? We don't have that issue, do we? But we do have financial difficulties at times. We may run into family trials. Sometimes those can be difficult for us, you know, and create some trial for us. You know, and we can go through in different ways, and they can manifest themselves in various ways. Family difficulties can crop up between husbands and wives, between parents and children. Those things happen, and they become a trial for us. And sometimes they seem to linger, don't they? Sometimes we can have mental anguish and mental trials. Let's turn to Romans, back to the book of Romans. Sometimes we can struggle through mental anguish and trial. Point is, there are various, as Peter noted there, various trials that we struggle and go through, various trials that we can suffer. Romans chapter 7, that we, you know, there are various things, and it may be different for me than it is for you, but it is no less of a trial, no less of a struggle. Trials that we go through, suffering that we go through. Romans chapter 7 and verse 18, Paul said, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me, but how to perform it, perform what is good, I do not find." Sometimes that can be a trial for us to try and figure this out. Verse 19 says, "For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice." Sometimes mentally we can struggle these struggles, can't we? We can have mental struggles. So, and that, those are just a couple of different categories that I have noted here: health and financial and family and mental struggles that we go through sometimes. There are many others. Many others, as Peter was describing, various trials that we can have and that we can go through, that we struggle through. And you may have a different trial, but we're going to have trials because God is perfecting us. God is perfecting us. We're going to have trials. Let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. So, in these trials that we have, God allows us to have them. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. God allows us to have trials in a variety of ways, various trials, to perfect us. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12 says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials." Good News Bible there says, "painful test." Painful test. "Do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you." So Peter said these things are going to happen. And then he throws another little challenge at us, where he says, "But rejoice." We read in James, where James said, you know, "Count it all joy." Here Peter throws us some more challenge at us. Rejoice. Rejoice at its root means to express joy. Rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings. Now we know that the chief sufferer, person who suffered the most, of course, was Jesus Christ. He suffered to the point of death. He suffered to the point of death. "That when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." So his glory will be revealed. And as Paul noted there in Romans chapter 8, the suffering of his present time. You know, the suffering of his present time. So Peter here said something somewhat similar, that when this glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. So trials, don't think it's strange, Peter said. They're going to come. So let's take a look at some Psalms. These are some things that in different times of struggle we may want to read. We can read them, and sometimes they can be encouraging. Some of the Psalms can be, you know, rather violent at times with some of the things that David went through, but some of them can be very encouraging as well and can be very helpful to us. If we read, you know, through some of the Psalms in some of our in different times of trial. Let's just look at a couple of examples. Psalm chapter 6. We'll look at several examples here. Psalm chapter 6. And this again is a psalm of David. We'll read the chapter basically. Psalm chapter 6 and verse 1 says, "Lord, Do not rebuke me in your anger, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. So David goes through a series of things here and asks God. Then he ends it very positively. Verse 2 says, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled." Sometimes our bones are troubled, aren't they? Sometimes, you know, we have pains and aches. David said, "My soul is greatly troubled." Verse 3. "My soul is greatly troubled, but you, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver me, O save me, for your mercy's sake." And we see that word mercy again. "For in depth there is no remembrance, in death rather, there is no remembrance of you. In the grave, who will give you thanks? I am weary with my groaning." Sometimes we get a little weary. "All night I make my bed swim, I drench my couch with my tears. My eye wastes away because of grief, it grows old because of my enemies. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity," verse 8, "for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let my enemies be ashamed and greatly troubled. Let them turn back and be ashamed suddenly." Now, verse 9, though, is a very important verse for us. We can read through this, and we can take chapter 6 of Psalms to God in prayer. And we can identify with some of these things. But verse 9 says, is a very encouraging verse, where it says, "The Lord has heard my supplication." God hears our prayers. He hears when we pray to him and ask. He knows what's going on in our lives. He hears our prayers. We can know that. We can have total faith in that without any doubt, as we read in Peter. With no doubt that God hears our prayer. "The Lord will receive my prayer," David said. Psalm chapter 77. Psalm 77. And we'll read just verse 1. Psalm 77, verse 1 says, "I cried out." Now this is a psalm of Asaph. Asaph, as we may remember, was a musician in David's orchestra. He says, "I cried out to God with my voice, to God with my voice, and he gave ear to me." He gave ear to me. We can understand, we can know that God hears our voice when we cry out to him. Sometimes doesn't answer immediately or answer exactly the way that we wish he would, when we wish he would. But we know that his will be done, and we know that he is perfecting us. And we know that the glory that shall be revealed in us is so much greater than any suffering that we can do, and any suffering we will do. And that is what he is perfecting us for. So sometimes we have to, we just have to endure those things and be patient. Because what's coming is so much greater than anything that we could possibly suffer. Psalm 73. Psalm 73. Begin reading in verse 1. I have the whole chapter to read. I'm not going to read the whole chapter for time's sake, but it might encourage you to read through the chapter and just see. I'm looking for a specific verse that I didn't note, but Verse 1 says, "Truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart." So God is good. This is again a psalm of Asaph. God is good to Israel. God is good to Israel. Of course, we're spiritual Israel. Verse 2 says, "But as for me, my feet are almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the boastful." So here we see, we can encourage us to maybe jot down Deuteronomy chapter 9 and verse 4. Sometimes we can get envious of the boastful. We can get envious of those who have more than we do. Drop down to verse 15 said, "But if I said I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me." Sometimes we get to that point where it's just too painful for us. "When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me. Until..." Verse 17, "until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end." We know that all these wonderful things that we see are going to, physical things, are going to come to an end. But what God is doing with us, perfecting us through trial and suffering, will have everlasting consequences. And when we come together like this and we read these scriptures and we see these things, verse 17, when we come into the sanctuary of God, when we come to understand what God is doing, we can understand the end. We can understand what is really a new beginning. Again, I'd encourage you to read through this entire chapter. We'll turn to one more psalm in Psalm 116, Psalm number 116, in verse 1 and 2. Psalm 116, verse 1 says, "I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my supplications." Here again, we see that God hears us. So when we're in trial and we're struggling with whatever trial it might be, and we're instructed in 1 Peter to cast our cares on Him, and we take this trial to Him, sometimes the answer is not what we think it is not immediate. It's not what we want. Sometimes it is, but sometimes it's not. But we can know that He has heard our supplication and our voice and our supplication. Verse 2 says, "Because He has inclined His ear to me, therefore I call upon Him as long as I live." We call upon Him, brethren, as long as we live. So we can see through these psalms, and there are other ones that we could turn to, that God hears us, and that He has our best interest in mind, and that He knows what that is. He knows what is best for us, better than we do. We could turn to other examples. We could turn to the example of Jonah. Read the story, read the book of Jonah. It's a 15, 20 minute read, the book of Jonah, what, 4 chapters? In relationship to trials and suffering, with the context of what we've been talking about today in mind, go through and read through the book of Jonah, 4 chapters, with this context of trials and suffering. You know, Jonah tried, of course, to run. He sailed out of Joppa, and he didn't want to go to Nineveh, but he was swallowed by the big fish. Mm-hmm. Kind of an amazing thing when you think about it. And he ended up and down. Jonah did. He ran away, God, he wanted Nineveh wiped out. They repented. Jonah's attitude was wrong. God made him a tree to provide shade for him. And the tree died. Up and down. Various trials, didn't he? Read it in relationship to the book, to this subject matter that we're talking about it. Hebrews chapter 11. God doesn't always work things out the way we think they should work out. We struggle, we suffer, we have trials in our lives. Things don't always work out the way that we would like them to. You know, when we read through the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and we see all of these wonderful heroes, really, these examples of faith, we look, starts with Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah. Drop down to verse 33. All of these people, these examples, these wonderful examples of faith that the writer of Hebrews, many feel it was probably Paul that wrote Hebrews, wrote. Verse 33 says, though through faith, through faith, subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tormented, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings. I think more of those things might be coming in the future. Trial of mockings and scourgings. Some of those things might be coming to some of us. Yes, in chains and imprisonment. You know, so I look at this word mocking sometimes, and you think about some of the things that are going on in our nation. When there was prayer requested in the Bahamas, there was some great criticism in certain channels for that, for the fact that people would pray about something like that, and that what good is that going to do? Mockings. Verse 37 says, they were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. All these people that's talking about is these people of faith, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. All these having obtained a good testimony, who through faith did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Verse chapter 12 starts out, it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, every trial, every weight, and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is before us. We gotta keep running. We have to endure. You know, that the test, remember, that it produces, there's a product. There's production with trials. It produces patience. It produces endurance. Verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. verse 3 says, "For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you be weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted the bloodshed, striving against sin. You have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord." Do not despise. Do not. Sometimes we can get angry in trial because we struggle and we suffer. "Nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens." Sometimes I joke or kid a little bit and say, at times we wish he wouldn't love us quite so much, right? Just kidding, of course. But, you know, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. He tries us, doesn't he? He tries us and scourges every son whom he receives. Verse 7, a very key verse here, it says, "If you endure the chastening." If you endure the chastening with you as with sons, for what son is there whom his father does not chasten? So we endure the chastening, don't we? We endure the chastening. God will try us, and there will be suffering. God, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. So, brethren, we know that there will be trials and there will be suffering. James said in James chapter 1, verse 2, "For the joy that was set before him, that we are to endure trial." We are to endure trial with joy. That God is perfecting us, and that Paul, as Paul said, that we're going to suffer. We're going to suffer, and we're going to have trials. Let's make sure that we endure with patience the suffering that we have to endure, the trials that we have. Let's make sure that we endure those things so that God can perfect us. Because whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Let's endure trials and suffering.